It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now. Welcome to Oprah's 2020 Visionary Talks. From the stage of my own 2020 Vision, Your Life in Focus Tour, WW Weight Watchers Reimagine, and I join forces to bring you candid conversations with some of the world's most famous trailblazers, whose story of wellness will empower you to discover the highest, truest vision for your life. San Francisco, you're in for a treat because Oscar nominee, Mama 3, athletic wear mogul, Kate Hudson, brightens any room or arena, even one that holds 15,000 people. San Francisco, please welcome our WW 2020 Visionary Conversation, Kate Hudson! You're wearing that suit, girl.
I am. Do you know why I chose purple?
Why?
Because I'm purple. I'm a purple program on the program. I'm purple.
Oh, because you're purple.
Team purple. Yeah, so I thought it
which
was
means
fitting.
Which means you get?
16 points.
16 right. points.
Yeah, but I'm liking it. I really like it.
Yeah, I couldn't do that one. No, doesn't allow for it. Doesn't allow for your vodka later in the day. Maybe a little bit. The last time we saw each other was on FaceTime. It's mm-hmm. nice to see you
in
person.
I'm so happy to be here.
Are you enjoying the program?
I love it. I absolutely love it. But I think it's probably about 15,000 people here who understand why. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because I was, you know, I think that once I started Fabletics and I got into the wellness community and active lifestyle, it's kind of the number one thing people ask all the time is, how do you balance? And food and diet seems to be like on the forefront of everybody's mind. And for me, I had a great teacher, right? My mom, she was always active. She was always thinking. And I feel really lucky that way, but I understand that a lot of people weren't raised with that kind of teacher. And to have a support system is enormous in a lifestyle journey. And WW, when I talked with Mindy and I got to get to know her.
You started because you wanted to lose 25 pounds after the baby, right?
Well, yeah. I just had a baby. And it was really, honestly, because I wanted to get behind something like this that had a community that was so inspiring. Because I think that that's a huge part of any yes. wellness journey.
Yes, and I knew that it wasn't just about losing weight, but you wanted to be a part of the whole wellness
yeah.
fabric that was hitting the country. And I love that you filmed yourself right after the holidays on the scale, and three things yeah. struck out. Yeah. That you filmed yourself on the scale right after the holidays.
I did.
And you felt like, it sounded like, to me, that you felt like you were going to be maybe 10 or 12 pounds over your fighting weight.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
A solid 12.
And you weren't thrilled, but you also weren't the least bit embarrassed. No shame involved, or seemed that way.
Yeah, no.
No shame.
No.
That's my number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think after having three kids, that you're sort of like, you know, the fluctuations are a part of life, you know, and I like the scale. And honestly, I didn't even think about it. I think in social media now today, I didn't even think like, oh wow, I'm showing.
Suppose this is 20 pounds heavier. Yeah.
Right. Right. But yeah, no, I think shame. No. I just want to live. I just want to live whatever I am, you know, and do my best.
I love this. I love when you turn. I think this is when you're turning 40, or last year, yeah, for your 40th birthday. Reese Witherspoon posted, "I've known this beauty since she was 12. She's always been the most optimistic and joyful." And I think that reminded me of the time, first time I interviewed your mother, and I said, wow, you're the most joyful person, Goldie Hawn, I've ever met. So do you think you inherited that joy gene?
A tornado of joy, Mom.
Yes.
That's what it feels. It's like, ooh, happiness. I think some of it, my mom is just an extraordinary light being. And yes, I think I do have the optimistic gene. And I think that it's a rare thing to have. And I recognize that it's something that you do have to continually work at. But I am sometimes to a fault optimistic, you know. Sometimes it's like, okay, stop, my friends, you know. Stop being so optimistic. Just be like annoyed right now, you know. Or just like, just say it's
so
just never going to happen.
So are you one of those people you see the best in everything?
I try. I really try. I do. I mean, I think it's more like, some people see it as morbid, but I see it as just life. I think in my mind, it's like, well, one day I'm going to die. And like, I'm always thinking like that. So what am I going to do today? Well, I'm going to live. And that's, is that simple? And I don't want to sit in the shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Fiona's here. You can't say shit.
I can't.
Okay. Fiona's 12. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I don't. You sit in the poop.
Okay, poopy.
And you know, it's interesting because if you're sitting in poop, it doesn't feel as bad as shit. It just feels like poop.
You know, I think. You know? I have a propensity towards drama because because I'm an actress. But I don't like the feeling of negativity. And so for me, I'm always trying to figure out how to.
Okay, so what are you telling yourself these days? Because how does somebody who's, you know, optimistic to a fault move through the world, this world, that seems to be filled daily with more and more negativity, just in every direction?
I try to shut it off. And I think you can be connected. I think a part of me feels like we're over-connected sometimes, where, you know.
Tell us. Let the church in the back say. Amen.
I really do like connecting with people. And sometimes I find that technology, it really messes me up. And seeing tickers of bad news and death and you know, stuff that I think once upon a time we really only heard what was going inside of our community.
Right.
And I love that we're connected globally and we know these things, but I think it's really hard on all of us. I think it creates a lot of anxiety.
So are you on social media a lot?
Yes. But I try not to, you know. I'm very good. I think we need to have more digital cleanses as much as we do food cleanses.
Yeah.
You know,
do you digital cleanse?
Yeah, I do. Shut it down.
So what are the hours that you'd like, I'm not going to do it?
5, phone gone.
5?
Phone gone, like down all
PM?
Things, 5 p.m.
Until the next day?
Until the next morning.
That is really good.
That's the goal.
Oh, that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Oh,
I
yes,
usually
that's like,
get to my goal.
I wish upon a star. I wish I could put my phone down.
I'm like sneaking Instagram likes at like 8, you know. Like,
okay. So really, what's the real thing that you do? The real thing?
I put my phone down at 5. And then sometimes if I really have to be on my phone, I have to stay up, you know. if I have to be on a call at 7 because of time differences or something, then I have to, you know. But I really try to put my phones down. And all the kids, we try to go.
You know what is surprising to me about you? You are so balanced and likable for somebody who was raised so rich. And in, and I mean that in the nicest way, rich people, you know. I don't have nothing against it. But you are so balanced and likable through this for somebody who was raised not just wealthy, but in the limelight. And you know, you meet a lot of people who come from famous people, a lot of people who've grown up, and they are not nice people.
Yeah, I grew up with some of them.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, God.
Because you don't get to find your own identity. And how were you able to do that in the midst of?
I think my parents almost, I mean, it was almost overkill how fiercely they raised us to not be spoiled children. Like, to the point where it was like, maybe they went a little too far in this department, you know? But it was like, we knew that our privilege had nothing to do with us and everything to do with luck and their work ethic. And so I think in our minds, what we saw was work ethic. We didn't see rich or privilege.
You didn't, even though you were raised by it?
No, I mean, I understood it as I got older, but I saw how hard they worked. Like my mom and Kurt, they work so hard, and they love it and they're passionate about it. And so I think that's it. And they just had no patience for any kind of spoiled behavior. And everything with them was about connectivity. It was like how you look someone in the eye and, you know, on a daily basis, how we connect. Anytime we had anything of real privilege, it was like, you know, they made it very clear that we were a guest in that world.
Yeah.
You know,
this isn't yours.
No.
You're in my
house.
You
sit down there and you say please and thank you. And
so did you, it's interesting that you and your brother Oliver kept the name Hudson.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though you were raised by Kurt, who was like a father to you. Did your father play a big role in your life, Bill Hudson?
I mean, I'm proud of the name Hudson. Because Bill, you know, he's a huge part of what I am, and some of my gifts that I cherish, like music. Mm-hmm. You know, my real father's a musician, and he's a wonderful musician, and I connect to him through that, even if I don't connect with him through any kind of real paternal relationship. But I think it was important to keep that name, you know, and I also feel like, you know, there was a moment in my life where I did want to reject anything that had to do with my father or the name, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll be Kate Russell, or maybe I'll just change it to Kate Gary, or, you know, but I don't know, it's a huge part of my identity, that relationship.
Yeah.
Challenging, not in my life, you know. But again, those things are what make you who you are, and it sort of informs the work that you do and emotional work and the relationships that you have.
Absolutely.
When you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes, celebrating the Black experience. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
You end up, you know, everybody does this, whether you know it or not. I learned this years ago from a wonderful guy named Harville Hendrix, who was on the show.
Oh, he's wrote a book
called, yes, called Getting the Love You Want and the Imago Theory. And so here's the theory. And it's certainly true in my relationship with Stedman. I would not be with Stedman had I not read that book and done Harville Hendrix like a year before Stedman and I met.
Oh, I mean.
Because his theory is that you are attracted to your romantic partners based upon what you are trying to heal in your past. So basically, the relationships that you had or didn't have with your parents shows up and is going to be triggered by your current partners.
So triggered.
And that is true. So you think
you
think you're getting away from it, but you never are getting away from it. You're just drawing into your life that which needs to be healed. And when stuff goes wrong, it's really all about not what's happening right here, but what's happened before it that wasn't healed.
Completely. And you know, when you're an intellectual person, you can think that you know it, but you almost have to feel that at a cellular level to make change. I think sometimes it's like you can tell yourself, oh, I recognize why I have this issue in a relationship. My father abandoned me. But then you keep repeating the same patterns, the same mistakes. And you have to like actually feel the trauma and move through it, I think. And that book actually changed my life. It made me get out of a relationship that, you know, and be in the better version.
Harville's book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
That is the best book. I think anybody, who, even if they're not in a relationship, needs to read that book because it I mean, everything that we do in our intimacy is all.
So, what about that book made you get out of a relationship?
Because I realized I was chasing something that I was trying to change the ending of the same story. I was trying to change something that I could never change. I was trying to put a different ending on it, instead of just like turning that channel off. But relationships has been at the center of my, you know, so because when we talk about wellness all the time, it really is, that has always been at the center of mine. Food, discipline in food, discipline in activity. It's something I feel in control of it.
Yeah.
It's relationships that has always been my soft.
I read where you said in your relationships that understanding and softening your fight or flight instinct has mm-hmm. been your greatest journey in adulthood. What does that mean?
Yeah, okay. I'm a fighter. And if I'm not fighting, I'm flying. Which means, like, I'm like a pit bull. My jaw clenches down, and it's like, until I know that we're communicated, that we're on the same page, or that I've been validated, I will fight. So much so that there was one particular relationship where someone looked at me and said, can you just put your sword away? Just put it away. And I realized I was like flinging a sword around.
So why, Kate, here's the question.
Okay.
Why are you such a pit bull?
Because I think that for me and in my life, this is like therapy, I'm in my therapy session, but I never felt heard.
Really?
So I think a lot of people feel that way. It's hard to be heard.
Yeah.
And when you're a little girl and all you want is your daddy to hear you and he doesn't, mm-hmm. you sort of are chasing that for a really long time until you realize like, oh, that wasn't,
it wasn't even about you.
It wasn't. I don't need to do that, you know. And so that, I think, triggered. I also think our fight or flight mechanism is real, and we're a survival animal. And so it's so easy for us to become reactive in that space, in that part of the brain. And we just immediately, right now it's like, it's all about slowing that part of the brain down, the reactivity and trying to, like, move through it differently. I think it's hard for us to do that.
I heard you say that, and this is true for me too, I'm going to talk about this later, that forgiveness is a big part of your wellness journey. Where does that fit in?
It's almost like my number one. Well, I think that, so forgiving is where I found the most liberation. And I think that when you have a situation of neglect or abandonment, to forgive is the greatest, it's the most liberating feeling and most loving. To love my father, it was, and to forgive him was my...
To forgive him for not being there, to give him for the divorce.
Just not having the capacity.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know...
That's the thing.
It's not a fault. It just is, isn't it? So I had to learn to understand that he had his own journey and he didn't have it in him. It's not in this lifetime. So the forgiveness has helped me heal. And in that, I can find real kind of peace. And that's where that's my journey. I mean, I there's all these great things we can do and all these wonderful, I feel really lucky. But at the end of the day, when I feel like my life journey comes to an end, I want to feel really at peace.
Yeah.
And so I just practice that. Forgiveness is like the number one thing to feel that.
Yeah. When you're disappointed and you don't get what you want.
Pitbull.
Pitbull.
I'm just kidding.
Really?
No. My agent called me once and he goes, what is it? I'm more upset about things that you don't get than you don't get. I really am good at letting stuff go.
Yeah. Fiona, thank you.
I think that there's things that,
there was a role once, I'm trying to think of the movie, that somebody else was going to get and then you got. Mm-hmm. What was that movie?
Uh-oh.
Okay, I don't know, but anyway, it'll come to me.
That I got, Almost Famous.
That was, yes.
Yeah, Sarah Polley was going to, with Brad Pitt, was going to be Almost Famous, and then they ended up not doing it, and then I was able to come and audition.
So Almost Famous made you really famous.
Almost, yeah, it did. Yeah, that was a really special moment in time.
Yeah. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
About, nothing. Nothing. I honestly, people always ask me, that's a question I think that, if you go back and ask yourself, or say something,
yeah.
You're right. No way. I was had the best time. I had so much fun. And I made mistakes. There were mistakes made. There was people that I wish I treated better. But I don't have any regret. I wouldn't tell her anything. I'd be like, have fun.
You're doing it, girl. And now you're the mother of three.
I am.
How's raising a daughter different?
Oh, it's so different. In the beginning, obviously, they're breastfeeding. But once her personality started to kind of, energetically, it really is just so different. She's so girly. I mean, it's even from the sounds to the way she talks. I mean, none of my boys talk like she. She has her own language. I mean, she's having conversations with herself. She doesn't, And she's literally just doesn't stop talking. And but I think that being older too and having a baby, I was 24 when I had Ryder, and then now being 40 with Ronnie, I think I soak it in differently. Mm-hmm. I just wanna.
And how are you balancing it all? We've done a lot of talk today about balance. So you got the 15-year-old. He's 15, right?
16.
16 now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and now a young baby, and then.
And then being his eight. Being
eight. How do you manage all that?
I mean, it's a lot of schedules. There's a lot of calendars.
Are you actually driving them around?
I mean, honestly, I've got three dads, which is rare, and it just turned out that way. If you would have told me in high school that that's what my life, I would definitely have been like, no, you're crazy. But yeah, that's what happened. And
how do you manage them all during the holidays?
Well. some of them. We all just have them together. I have everybody on the same schedule. It's just, you know, scheduling. So, like, I have the kids, both of my boys I have for the first week of Christmas or the second week of Christmas. So I just made sure we're all on the same. And I think it's more about how do we raise kids together. And I think it's all ego. I think you just have to put the ego aside and really put the kids first. And it's hard. That's a really hard thing to do.
Because I heard that you made a concentrated effort to never commiserate with your sons about their fathers.
Never, ever. Even if I can't stand it, them.
So
even
what does that mean?
Even in the hardest moments, I'm like, you know, even when they have, like, you know, if there is a moment, it's like, don't come to me and talk about your father like that. I think it's really important that kids stay respectful of their parents, even if you know that their parent could be making a better choice. Like, I think your kids will grow up, they will know. They will discover.
Figure it out.
Yeah, they'll have their own relationship with their parents.
So you've never said a disparaging thing about either of them either of them?
No. Yeah. I would never do that.
That is really good.
I think your kids, I think they would resent that. I know my mother never did that about my father. And she really could have, you know. It's like, and she just was, sorry, Dad. I love you. But you know, she really could have. Never said a bad thing about my father.
Yeah,
and it really was wonderful because as I got older, I understood why she did that.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You were saying that your mother epitomizes, does she epitomize for you what a good mother is?
Yes. With an extraordinary life. And I think that my mother did probably the best possible that you could ever do, having the kind of extraordinary life that
she
has.
Okay, so here's a question I asked Tracy Ellis Ross last week. Did you grow up in her shadow or her light?
Oh, light.
Light, okay.
Yeah, I want more of that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing. I think that there's, yeah, I mean, truly, in her light.
And but was it complex?
Very.
Finding your own
very.
Light. Yeah, well, how do you find your own light when your mother's light is so bright?
Well, she shares it. You know, I think you find your own pocket, you know, and I think that it does develop probably a different kind of personality. Like, you know, a good example of it is a fun example of this. It's not as complex or deep, but like going shopping with my mom is like watching the joy tornado go through a shop. Like, and nobody shops like my mom because she doesn't. She's like changing in the shop. You know, it's like everything. She just wants in and out. You know, she's not enough hours in a day to do the things that she wants to do, and she leaves everything. I mean, the glasses here and her fanny pack over here and the phones over here, and I'm doing this the whole time. I'm like picking
just following
her stuff
up. Following around,
I've got this. Hi, nice to see you. Hold on, I gotta get my mom's phone. Where's my phone, honey? It's right here, I got it. You know, it's like that's our, it's like I grew up her gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I felt like. And we actually had a psychic once say to both of us, we were in the same room, she goes, you know, you were your mother's gatekeeper, and you sat outside of, like, medieval times, I don't know, some, you know. And, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, that's me. I just sit outside her door making sure that everything's fine.
I heard that you once said that you learned how to let her be the butterfly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and she's a true butterfly. I mean, with the most extraordinary wings.
And you believe your goal as Goldie Hawn's daughter actually helped inform your life as a businesswoman. How so?
I think because I am a very, the roles that you create in a family dynamic like that, and I think everybody has it. There's always a personality that's the, you know, mine was definitely a bit of an overachiever. You know, it was like, okay, this is my mother and that's her, you know, she's of this incredible light being. And I'm a performer through and through. I always thought I'd be on a stage singing. But acting and performing and all of that. But like I, in my mind, I was always like, okay, I'm gonna make sure that things are practical. And I think that's why my life ended up the way it's ended up. You know, I'm definitely, I don't know, the business seems to be really, I mean, I love it.
Yeah. What's the smartest advice anyone ever gave you about business?
Well, I'm hoping you and I are going to have a drink. And you can give me some great advice. Because that's the only advice I want.
Thank you.
Listen,
I get become much wiser on the second shot.
Honestly, authenticity.
Yeah.
I think the best advice I have got from a lot of interesting businessmen and women is being authentic and why? Purpose. And that's kind of, for me in business and my career and everything, it's like purpose driven. Why are you doing it?
Why? So why did you go into, I know Fabletics. What happened with that? You just said, I am going to do Fabletics, a new vodka line. Happy times in nature. I'm just going to do it all.
I'm just going to do it. Yeah, because I think for me, you know, as we get a lot of actors.
How hands-on are you?
Very hands-on. Very. Like almost to the point where I was walking with our friend Reese the other day and she's like, will you stop micromanaging everything? Like, you know, I'm very hands-on and I have to learn sometimes how to just kind of walk away.
But don't I think you and Reese are redefining what it means to be businesswoman in this 21st century techno media, social media world?
I hope so, because once upon a time women weren't able to, and men have always dabbled in business and performing arts, and women, it's like if you were doing business and performing arts, forget it, you'd never get hired as an actress again. And I think that, you know, it's so nice now to be able to do multiple things. I also think, too, it's like, it's still a challenge. And so it's nice to have that kind of platform to hopefully, like, make change and have other people, you know, follow. So I think Reese is doing such an amazing job.
Yeah, she is. On all levels. Mm-hmm. I love how you described meeting her when you were both 12, and you said she worked the room like a politician.
Oh, I should put nobody like Reese. Well, we were at a party, and there was every amazing musician. It was a small party, and Reese got up and was like, well, everybody's going to sing. And we're like, Reese, you don't know, it's Neil Young, you know? It's like, let him.
Everybody was singing. Let's just go all the way. This was a party at Paul McCartney's house.
So great. It was like...
You're at Paul McCartney's house directing people what to do.
Yeah. That's Reese.
You can't tell Paul McCartney to sing a song. No.
You have to sing a song. Like, Reese, it's Paul McCartney.
And Paul was like, I don't want to play a song. And she's like, Paul, get over here.
Paul, no, you're going to do it.
Get over here.
And then Oprah and I were sitting there and we're like, look at her go.
And Willie Nelson was sitting next to me. He was like smoking something, asking me, do you want something? I was like,
yeah, he was.
That was a party. Close your ears, Fiona.
I love Willie Nelson.
Connection is your happy place though, right?
Absolutely. Connectivity to me is everything. My friends, my family, number one, my children. But I just think that like the human connection gives me so much joy. And I really do love it, you know. I do love it. I like being transparent. I mean, obviously I like to keep some things private, but I like being open. I like being able to really just meet people and look people in the eye. And
what are you proudest of right now?
My kids.
Especially my real work. Yeah, I was asking if your mother 16. Was a good mother. Are you a good mother?
Yes.
And what makes a good mother?
I care. I love my. Everything I do is for my kids. I see my son. He's 16. This is the age where you're like, oh, what's gonna happen? Are we moving in the right direction?
Yeah.
And it's the age where you get to let your kids fly a little bit, and you're like, all right, I gotta let go. I gotta let him figure it out. I gotta let him. You know, is he gonna come home drunk? Like, that's gonna be a hard.
Have you had the drunk talk?
Oh yeah, but my boy is awesome, and he's open and he's communicative. He talks about his feelings, which more than anything, he talks about what he needs from me.
Wow.
Like, he'll say, you know, I really want to spend some time with you today, and I'll be like, honey, let's do it. You know, at 16, to be able to, because you want them to go do their thing.
Yeah, but you also want them to be able to ask for what they want or need. Yes.
And he's kind, and he's fun, and he's hilarious. And I I'm really proud of him.
Yeah.
And he's.
And do you sit back and you say, I have done a good job?
I feel like, I mean, I sometimes, but I also want, like, my mom always said, when someone goes, are you so proud of your daughter? And she's like, the pride word I have a hard time with, because it's like, it's mine.
Right.
And it's there. She's not mine. Yeah. She's her.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about my kids. It's like, I look at Ryder and I'm like, I'm just so happy that my son is someone that I just can learn from and look up to too.
Yeah.
You know, that's who he's turning into. So,
that's when you know you've done a good job.
That's where I feel like it, yeah.
So we're setting our wellness intention, our vision for 2020. Do you have one?
I have so many, but I know in the workbook I'm sort of like trying to zero it down. But my wellness intention for 2020 is consistency. Consistency in everything that I do.
Okay.
I'm like, is that the wrong answer?
No, Oprah? I'm just waiting. I'm trying to. I was waiting on you to tell me consistency in what? Okay. So
consistency in my exercise. You know, it's right now I'm finding it's the last thing that I do, because I wake up, I have the kids, and I have to go to work, and then I have a call and a thing. Like, consistency in, and also for me, my wellness is like making sure that I know how to shut it off. So meditation, doing the things for me.
Do you meditate?
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, it's like my 5 o'clock phone going down. Like, I want to do it every day.
Yeah.
And I miss days,
you
know?
But the days you do it, you're so much better, aren't you?
It's the best.
Yeah, I know,
it's
me too.
It's the best. You can't even, in the hardest time of my life, that was the most uncomfortable time of my life, that was my thing. It's like, I did not miss a meditation. I did not miss a therapy session. Mm-hmm. And it changed that was the most life-changing thing for me was daily meditation. It's crazy. How powerful it is.
It is. So your 2020 vision, your word is consistency.
Consistency.
Yeah. And you're going to be consistent.
For
self-care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, make sure I do something for myself every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe you came to San Francisco to be
I
with us today.
I love you so much.
Thank you. And we must, after the show,
have a cocktail.
Have one of your cocktails.
King Street cocktails.
Yes, let's do it. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate Hudson.
Love you guys.
I'll see you backstage. Get the lime ready.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.